Grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verse 6 here in just a moment. We're in a series entitled, I Believe. We're going to be talking about being a believing believer, both believing in God and believing for promises that God has for our lives. You are at your best when you are a believer believing. You know, faith is the atmosphere of God. Faith is the environment. It's the love language of God. You know, we talk in marriage courses and classes about the five love languages. For God, His love language is trust. Your trust in Him. Your confidence in Him. Your faith being expressed. You know, that was always God's grievance with the children of Israel in the Old Testament, was they kept falling in and out of trust with God. He would get them out of Egypt and defeat all the gods that of Egypt and all their oppressors, and then they wouldn't trust that God was going to be able to take them through the desert as well. And so they begin to put indictments against His ability or willingness to provide for them in the middle of their journey. But you know, sometimes we act the same way. We know God will save us out of Pharaoh's hand or out of the devil's hand. We know God will deliver us out of the world in Egypt. But will God really get us to the promised lands of our lives successfully and safely? And we begin to doubt in the desert what we heard in the light. You know, we begin to doubt God and we go back and forth. And the love that God desires from us is expressed to Him in faith. You know, without faith, you'll never take great steps of action. You'll never build an ark in the middle of a people that are opposing God. And God is saying, build this big boat. Nobody understands why, but I need you to do a great work to save humanity. And nobody understands it. But without faith, you won't take those kinds of risks. Without this trust, you won't walk on water. You understand? Faith is God's language. It's God's calling card. It's His atmosphere of miracles and what God desires us to be actively living in and participating in. And it's our faith that is under attack, not our faith necessarily in God Himself, but our capacity to believe God for the miracles, to believe God for the breakthrough and the transformation. You know, the devil, one of the assignments of the enemy, the Bible says in the book of Daniel, that one of the names or the actions of the devil is sent to wear out the saints. Now that, I believe, is one of the greatest tactics, is that the devil tries to wear against your believing capacity. Not your belief in God, but your belief in the promises of God. Your belief and trust that God will do what God said. And He wears people down through disappointment, through opposition, through hardship. And that's where the attack against the Christian really is. That's where the warfare really is. When promises are delayed or when breakthroughs have opposition, will you believe God in the middle of the journey? Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, believers believing do great works. They see miracles. They bring change and they bring the unseen will of God into this world. And so we are believers. And God's atmosphere is an atmosphere of faith. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, simply talking about faith and God's heart for it, says this, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Speaking of God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. I'm going to break that into two categories. First category, category one, is obvious. To please God, you must believe He is. He wants you to know He's there. He wants you to be confident that He's on the other side of the telephone when you're praying. He wants you to be confident that His hand is truly there upholding you in His hand. He wants you to know that He's there to catch you on the other side of eternity. God wants you to know He's there. That blesses Him. When you can't see Him with your eyes, yet you call out to Him and you trust Him, you know He's there listening and He's answering. Can I get an amen on that? That blesses God, that you know He is. But then there's a second part to faith in this conversation today, and that's not only that He exists, but that He'll do what He said. He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. I like to broaden that. For Him to be a rewarder of those who seek Him means the rewards that He's promised when you come are on the other side. And so I'll define that today as God wants you to believe he is and that he'll do what he said he's going to do. That he's faithful to the promises that he makes to you. But again, that's where the attack comes. That's where the opposition comes in. Many of us are smart enough and strong enough in our faith that we would never say God is not real or God does not exist. That is too far of a reach for the devil to ever get you to be there. But he can, and I've seen it in my life under attack and in other people's lives under attack, he can get us to still, yes, acknowledge there is a God, but even in acknowledging there is a God, we can, as believers, begin to withdraw believing in certain things that God has told us, in certain areas that God has declared or decreed a promise or a breakthrough or a dream. We can begin to, I still believe in God, but do I actually believe the God I believe in? Do you see that subtle variation? I will never say I don't believe in God, but there are areas in our life that are under attack that do we still believe God in those areas that we've suffered either loss or disappointment or hardship in? That's where the attack comes in. That's where I want us to discover in our lives today, because if we've shrunk back, if we've drawn back in an area of believing God, let us repent and give that back to God and say, God, help me to repent and become like a child again and believe you unhindered, unobstructed, with childlike faith that says, God, even though I don't understand maybe why that prayer didn't happen the way I wanted it to happen, or maybe that outcome didn't come the way I wanted it to come, I give you those questions. I don't want there to be anything between you and I. I want to be a believer that's believing wholeheartedly and not having any area of my heart that is hardened towards you. It is possible to believe in God, yet have areas of our heart that are hardened towards him. And today we're going to deal with those areas so that we can believe again, because I want to train you today how to use your believer. If your believer was like an instrument or a weapon on the inside of you, I want to teach you how to use your believer so that we can see the breakthroughs. And if believers stop believing, this world's in a very tough spot. Because it's believers believing the promises, believers believing the unseen, believers seeing what isn't there in front of us and seeing a better preferred future and then being able to pray those things to pass. But if we lose our capacity to not capacity to believe in God, but if we lose our capacity to believe God for things that are greater than what we can see with our natural eye, then this world is in a very tough spot. So is your family, so is your personal life. We must be believers that are good at believing. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, in speaking of Abraham, who's the father of our faith. If you're new to church, let me give you a quick rundown of who Abraham is. Abraham, way back in the book of Genesis, was a gentleman who worshiped false gods with his family. God came to him, made him a promise, said, I'm going to make a nation out of you. Now, that was a big deal to Abraham and his wife because he was old in years and his wife was older as well. And it was impossible for them to have kids at this stage of their life. And God said, I'm going to make a nation out of you. They had had no children. And so God was promising them something that was impossible, something that they had been disappointed in for the entirety of their life. Yet God that day was about to change that disappointment into a reality. And so Abraham believed God, the Bible says, and then Israel came out of his line, his family line, his heritage. Out of Israel comes Jesus. Out of Jesus comes all of us. So Abraham is strategically connected to each one of us. Are you understanding? Abraham, Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, says this, just as Abraham believed God, and it stops right there, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. I want you to know here, it's not just that Abraham believed in God, but he actually believed what God said. He believed that God was able to do the impossible, to make two older individuals have a child in a later part of life, which this had never happened, to make a great nation and to give them a future, a preferred future than what they'd seen. This is the attack again. This is what I challenge us today. Are we people that we don't just believe in God, but we actually believe him? Are there any areas that we've shrunk back and we doubt now in that area? Again, if I were to ask you, do you believe in God? You would say, absolutely, Pastor. I believe God is real. I believe in eternal life. I believe Jesus came and died on a cross. But are there areas in your life that you do not believe God the way you used to believe God? You've kind of, because of experience or hardship or negative things, begun to try to protect yourself from being disappointed again. And we have to deal with those things. We have to deal with those areas and intentionally grow up out of those places of disappointment and despair. They're not just going to go away by ignoring them. Are you understanding that? Believing believers, we are at our best when we are believing God, not just in Him, but we're believing His promise. We're believing His character. We're believing His wisdom. You know, there's challenges. I can just give you multiple tests where people believe in God, but they don't actually believe what He says. You could see it in people's giving. People say, I believe in God, but you know, God said, give and it will be given. So here you have a belief in God, but if you don't give to help the poor, if you don't give to advance the kingdom of God, then because you're afraid if you give, you don't have anything left, guess what? You've just proven you can believe in God, but not believe Him. Thank you for that thunderous response. Are you understanding? The Bible says, give and it will be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The Bible says God provides seed to the sower, bread to the eater. God says He'll, for those that give, that He will make sure you have all sufficiency in all things for every good work. Yet, because of fear, we hoard our finances, we hoard our money to protect ourselves rather than responding and being generous like God tells us to. We've proven that we can believe in God but not believe Him. You know, the Bible also says that for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife. The two will become one flesh. God is the originator of marriage. And yet, in our culture, in this day and age, people begin to believe in God, but they don't want to believe that marriage and that commitment of marriage is the ideal way of a man and woman to have a relationship together. So they believe in God and decide to live together because their belief system is that marriage is not the successful model for a relationship. Again, people who believe in God but don't believe God, that if they make covenant with each other till death do us part, that is a better way of life and success than just living together and not making commitments to each other. Amen. Are you understanding? We kind of do it more than we think, where we believe in God, but we don't necessarily believe God. Back to the area of disappointment again. You know, there's times where we've prayed for someone to be healed and we didn't see them healed. And so now, again, they go to heaven, but we believe in God. God's real. We believe in eternal life because we want to see those individuals again on the other side. But the next time pastor calls us to pray for the sick, we hold back because we were disappointed before. Possibly you've lost money in an investment. Possibly you lost your house in bankruptcy. Possibly you can believe in God in many areas that God can forgive you of your sin, that God is full of grace. You might even believe God will heal the sick. But when the preacher or the Bible starts talking that God will supply your needs, you hold back because in an area of finance, you were disappointed. And so we have these areas that we might be strong in believing in God, but the other areas have been attacked, and we have not addressed those questions, we have not addressed those disappointments, and so we're not believers believing to our fullest capacity, we're believing kind of at half capacity. Are you understanding? And God is consistently saying, become like a child, total belief, active abandonment, saying, God, I trust you, God, I'll take those leaps of faith. Because what happens is when we have those doubts in that area or those offenses or places of hindrance because of disappointment, we don't respond immediately. We don't respond wholeheartedly when God says, go pray for a sick person. You say, go send Pastor Evelyn because I'm still dealing with the pain of the person I lost. Are you understanding? And today we're trying to talk about that because it's not okay to ignore that that's going on in your heart. We can deal with that so that God can bring us to a place of believing wholeheartedly. Again, you're at your best when you're believing totally. And there's not, think about in a marriage, if you believe in a marriage and like you trust each other in five of the six areas, that sixth area that you don't trust each other in, is going to end up affecting the rest of the relationship at some point if you don't address that area that you don't trust anymore. Are you understanding? And so even though we try to compartmentalize our unbelief, it will affect your spiritual growth. It will affect your capacity to bring change into the earth, into your life, into your family, because you're not a believer believing right now. You're doubting in certain areas. And God is big enough to deal with those questions and those pains. See, what some people try to do is they think it's good Christianity to not tell God you're offended at him or doubt him in a certain area because of an experience. And they shove it down and they smile in their prayer like, oh God, I trust you, I love you, it's amazing. In reality, there is an area here that you are greatly disappointed in, and my encouragement to you is this, tell God about it. God is big enough to deal with your disappointments and your questions. You may not know why that prayer didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen, but like I said last week, I want to remind you, even though you've prayed for someone and maybe they didn't get the healing on this side of eternity, you can look around through this church, you can look around through the testimony of the scripture, you can look around through other churches around the country. God is still the healer. He is still healing people. And even though you didn't see that in particular situation come to pass, that is not a doctrine that God doesn't heal because your situation was disappointing. Are you understanding? And so you then give those unresolved questions to God. Maybe one day when you get to heaven, if you still care about it, you can ask him about those questions. But on this side, you say, God, I know you are a God that heals. I don't know why in this situation I didn't see the outcome I was wanting, but I don't want to pull back from you in any area, whether it's finances. You can see that God's provided either for you in the past or somebody else in the past, and so you might have lost your house recently. But guess what? God is faithful, and he will know how to restore your future. But if you pull back and you stop believing God in the area of prospering you, then you shut the door of God's ability to change those financial things in your life. We have to deal with those questions and those double-minded things and say, God, I want to be honest. I want nothing in between us. I want to be a believer believing. Amen. You know, hope and faith go together. They are partners in the Christian life. This is really a conversation about hope. And if believers stop believing, the world's lost hope. It really has. There's no way then for God's unseen will and plans to come in because we become so critical and so moved only by rational thinking and personal experience that we don't learn how to believe beyond what's there. So if believers stop believing, the world's in a very bad place. Hope, faith are married together, and it's what believers bring to the table in every generation. And like I said, that's why it's under attack, my friend. That's why your ability to hope, your ability to believe that tomorrow is going to be better than today, that your next marriage will be better than the last one, that this healing can manifest even though your friend might have died of the same thing or your family member might have died of the same thing, but there's hope that this can change. Do you understand the idea of hope to bring a preferred future, a will and a promise of God to pass? In that same chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 that we just read, the very first verse talking about the marriage of faith and hope says it like this. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If the devil can take hope out of you, you become hopeless. If the devil can take the ability to hope and see, we are people that see the unseen. That's what we do. We see the promise of God. God speaks the end from the beginning. We see God saying something about our city. But yet the rest of the city has given up on that city because of circumstances, because of their personal experiences. But God is saying, I bring change to this city. Believers have to be able to see beyond their personal experience. Believers have to be able to see beyond their questions and their pain and their confusion and be able to pray and bring the will of God to pass on this side of heaven. There's a passage of scripture in Mark chapter 9. Dealing, I believe, with ideas like this disappointment that we're talking about that we deal with. I love this story. It's about a dad in Mark chapter 9 who has a son that's demon-possessed. Somehow he's been dealing with demons since birth, and these demons try to kill him routinely on a consistent basis, try to throw him in the fire. They try to throw this little boy into water. And sometimes we just read through these chapters of the Bible, and we don't really stop to consider the people inside the story. first of all, the torment on the child, I just think it's, again, another revelation of how evil the devil is, because he doesn't care if you're a child or an adult, he wants to kill and destroy your life. There's no mercy in the devil. You don't play games with the enemy. But then you got to think of the dad, right? For years, he has to live in constant fear and on watch whether or not his son is going to be trying to kill himself because of these evil spirits. And so you're constantly in a state of paranoia and panic trying to protect your child. I'm sure that throughout this child's life, the dad has been trying to get relief or release for his child. So you think year after year, he is being disappointed that the doctors can't figure it out. Maybe there was another thing that somebody wanted to try. That didn't work. Then there were these healers that came to town called the apostles. He brought his child to Jesus' apostles, who were the best healers and deliverers of the day, and they couldn't fix him. Do you understand the disappointment in that dad? The disappointment thinking this must be my lot in life. This must be now my expectation because I've been disappointed time and time and time again. But I love this story because that disappointment is not the end of the story. That dad could have left and had a wrong theology that said it must not be God's will to heal. Because up to that point, he had seen only negativity. He had seen only loss and defeat to all of his hope. The Bible says Jesus came down out of the Mount of Transfiguration. Up on this mountain, Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John. He had transformed into the image of the Son of God in front of them. He glowed with the glory of God. He took all that glory, shoved it back in his man suit, and then he walked back down the mountain. At the bottom of this mountain is this young boy who's being tormented and the father who's being tormented having this situation in his life. And the father comes up to Jesus and speaks a powerful verse. He asks Jesus, he says, if you can do anything, your disciples couldn't. Notice the disappointment, almost like a slam against Jesus and his disciples. They couldn't fix him. But if you can do anything. I love that the father kept hope alive. See, he could have left already, but he stayed there. Brought it to Jesus, which is what we're trying to tell you to do today. No matter what your disappointments in the past, keep bringing your problem to Jesus. He's the solution. We're not at solutions, people. We're not the healers. We're not the fixers of everything. It's Jesus. So keep bringing it to Jesus and keep trusting that he's not only able but willing. And so Jesus looks at the dad and he says this. He says, all things are possible. That's the verse that's so famous in this passage, verse 23. All things are possible to him who believes. And the dad responds in honesty. He says, I believe, help my unbelief. Maybe that's where you are today. There's a part of you that believes, but there's these areas because of disappointment, because things have happened in an opposite of what you desired, there are areas that you don't believe anymore. You believe, but then there's doubt. And the man does what you're supposed to do. You bring it to Jesus and say, help me so that I can have wholeness in my belief system. So that I can have complete trust in you. But notice what Jesus was saying. All things are possible to him who believes. And this is where a phrase that's been resonating in our church for the last few years, I say it again, you can write it down. I want you to hear me say this. We know the devil cannot stop God. Can I get an amen? He can't. But he tries to stop you from believing God. See, all things are possible for the one who will believe. The devil can't stop God when God says it and God wills it and God declares it. So the attack of the enemy isn't against God, it's against you to wear you out. So that you'll give up. You know, like I said earlier, one of the phrases the Bible uses of the devil is that he's here to wear out the saints. To wear you out in standing on the promise of God. To wear you out in believing that God can do what he said he was going to do. So that you turn the faucet of faith off in an area. Thus turning the miracle off. It's not that God isn't willing. It's not that God isn't able. Jesus very clearly says all things are possible for those who believe. And so the attack is on you believing. Are you understanding that? And so when you turn the faucet off that God heals in your life, it's because of a disappointment thing in the past rather than God's not being a healer. God isn't a healer. God is a healer. And he's still a healer. And he's still a provider. And he's still the one that is able to bring your children back to the kingdom. He's still the one that can heal and restore broken hearts and marriages. And he can still do all those. And he can heal cities. And he can heal companies. And he can heal all kinds of things. But the question mark is with us. Will we turn the faucet of faith off because of disappointment? And that's what he was talking to this dad about. He's like, I'm more than able to heal your son, but can you believe one more time? Can you believe again? Which is where we're dealing with this today. Help my unbelief. The good news is this. Faith can come, write this down. Faith can grow, and faith can be given. Faith can come, faith can grow, and faith can be given. Faith can come. As I preach, or as a preacher preaches to you about a miracle or about Jesus' ability to save the soul, faith cometh to you to give your life to Jesus, because you are inspired by that word saying God is able to forgive me of my sins, and he's willing to forgive me of my sins. And so in a moment, a word is delivered to you, and it's like faith came to you and your heart responded. It was just like a reaction to a word of faith being preached to you. Do you understand how faith can come? But I want to talk to you that faith can grow. You can deliberately grow your faith in an area that you know is shrunk or defeated or weak. You can intentionally evaluate where you're drawing back from God, and you can say in your heart, I don't want to be an unbelieving believer in any area. Just like I could go through the word and pick a topic. I can pick the topic of salvation. And I could preach to you that he is here to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever would believe in him would not perish. And I could preach the scripture to you, and faith would rise intentionally as you're sowing the scripture in the area of salvation into your heart. Faith rises in that area. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But the same thing is true in any area that you're weak in faith. If you're weak in the area of healing because of disappointment or a lack of teaching, maybe is why you're weak in faith in the area of healing, you can go to the scriptures intentionally and grow your faith in the area of healing and see that Jesus healed them all. And you go through every miracle. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed the leper. He healed the everything. He just said, come to me and I will heal you. He never turned away a person wanting healing. He healed them all. You can go through the Old Testament where God says, I am the God that heals you. You can go through promises about Jesus saying, by the stripes upon his back, he bore your sicknesses, he bore your pains, and by his stripes you are healed. You can go through the New Testament where it says, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him lay hands on the sick and anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise him up. I'm telling you, you can intentionally say, I'm going to combat my fear and my unbelief with seeds of faith. I am going to make myself believe again. Amen. Rather than sitting back and accepting this new kind of version that you've created of an unbelieving believer, we don't have to be satisfied with that. Are you understanding? We can evaluate and say, because of disappointment, which I don't understand, but I'm not going to let my disappointment turn into my theology. Let God be true and every man a liar. I will give my questions to God, and I will draw faith from the miracles I've seen around me, and I choose to be a believing believer, whether it's in my finances, whether it's in health, whether it's in getting people saved and bringing them to Jesus, whether it's bringing the impossible into the natural by praying that cities can change or companies or your business can turn around, praying for somebody else's business to turn around. Maybe you lost your business and now someone else is in a pit of despair, and you're sitting there, you could be praying for their business to turn around, but because you lost your business now, you don't realize or think that God's going to fix their business. I'm saying, my friend, God needs you. They need you to believe again. You need to fix that area in your heart. You can fix that area. You can go and see God's verses on provision and turn around and breakthrough. Give your unknown questions to God and say, I am not going to stay in this negative place. My friend needs me. This world needs me to believe. This world needs me to stand for the promise of God. I refuse to stay bitter. You see what I'm saying? I can grow my faith in the areas that I see have become weak. It's not the pastor's job. You can do it. Amen. So faith can come, faith can be grown, but faith can also be given. You know, the Bible tells us in Corinthians, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, one of the gifts of the Spirit is a gift of faith. Gifts are given. And those gifts of the Spirit, those charismatas of the Holy Spirit, are given by the grace of God. You know, the Bible talks about words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of healings and miracles, but right in the middle of that is the gift of faith. What's the value of a gift of faith? Here's the deal. You might be in a situation where your faith has been weak, you have been under attack, who knows what, you've never grown your faith, but all of a sudden you're faced with a challenge or a situation where you need faith and you need it now, and you don't have time for a six-week course on healing. Your family member was in a car accident. You've not dealt with your challenges or issues of miracles and believing God before this car accident, but now your loved one is laying there in a bed. You can access faith by asking God, saying, God, I'm asking for a gift of faith. See, the Bible says that we can desire spiritual gifts, and the gift of faith is a spiritual gift, which means I can say I need that right now to help carry me in this suddenly moment that I wasn't prepared for. Now, that's not saying I never have to go back and read my Bible again. What I'm saying is, though, in that moment, though, I'm not limited to saying I've not dealt with these issues. I'm saying, look, if you're in a crisis right now, you can lay hold. You can just make a decision today and say, God, I haven't been believing. Help my unbelief. Give me a gift of faith to get me back on the right track again. I don't have to wait 6 weeks, but I'll continue to feed my spirit faith stuff to grow, but I can change even today. I'm tired of being a negative Christian. I'm tired of being a grumpy Christian. I'm tired of being the gloom and doom person because I don't believe in miracles anymore. I don't believe in the impossible. I don't believe those things. I don't. If we stop believing, the world is lost. The families are lost. The cities are lost. The future is lost. You are believing believers. You're at your best when you're believing. Amen. So you ask yourself today, what do I believe about God? Ask yourself that. Do you believe that He is? Do you believe that He's all powerful? Do you believe He's able? Do you believe He's willing? Do you believe He's good? Do you believe He's love? What is it that you believe about God? Figure that out. But second, what am I believing God about? What do you believe about God? And what are you believing God about? There's something here that's new to some of you that I would like to share with you for a few moments. Some of us come from different backgrounds, religious backgrounds, and they're all beautiful. It's wonderful. There's some great Baptist backgrounds, Lutheran, Catholic, evangelical, free, some non-church backgrounds at all. This area that I'm about to talk to you in using your faith is new to some of you. The idea of believing and standing on a promise and bringing the will of God to pass in a situation is new to some of us because we've had an unhealthy diet of the sovereignty of God to kind of anything that happens to us is the will of God, and we just have to learn how to adapt and grow character out of it and be humble and figure out what we need to change to be more like Christ. And we just think whatever happens is a part of our journey of growth. But the Bible consistently teaches us that believers using their faith, believers believing, are not subject to just the circumstances or whatever happens, but that we can change the circumstances that are in our world. That just because something is, doesn't mean it has to stay. Are you understanding? That just because it happens, doesn't mean it was God's will. We are a part of partnering to bring God's will to pass, to change what we see in this world. Just because it happens doesn't make it right. Just because it happens, we must come to a place in our theology where we understand not everything that happens in life is the will of God. But God still has a will that would combat or change anything that happens. Are you understanding? And so if believers stop believing, if we're not bridging the gap between the unseen and the will of God and bringing that will of God into the earth, then the world is just kind of in for whatever happens, and it's just subjected to whatever the wills of the devil or the will of fallen man or the curse that's on this planet will do for it. And there's no one opposing that will because there's no one hoping that something else can happen. Something else can change. And so God uses our believing We have authority as believers, and we're meant to use it. So when I say, what am I believing God about? That's a big deal. You have the capacity to believe a God about things and to partner with God to bring those things to pass in your life and in your world. Even Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, pray like this, your will be done, talking about God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, we as believers have to see that will in the unseen, and then we speak and stand and believe for and towards those wills to come to pass in our body, in our family, in our city, in our country, in our churches. But if we stop believing, then it cuts that off. It's like turning off that faucet again. Do you understand that? We partner with God to stand against the opposition, to stand against the darkness, and to bring light. We're not just subject to whatever the will of the devil or the will of this fallen world is. We're here to bring the will of God to pass in our life and in our family, which is where believing believers become so important. The Bible talks about this in Mark chapter 11 in a picture, verses 23 and 24. The Amplified Bible says it like this, Jesus speaking. He says, I assure you, Jesus speaking, most solemnly do I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place. See, there's a believer believing right now. It will be done for him in accordance with the will of God. For this reason, I am telling you, this is Jesus saying, because of this, because you have this capacity, because you have this potential, you have this power, because of this, I'm telling this to you. Whatever things you ask for in prayer in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them and they will be given to you. So when you think about the mountain here, I want you to realize the mountain is not supposed to be there. Do you see that in the verse? In this verse, Jesus is declaring that on your path in life, there is going to be mountains put in front of you, and just because the mountain is there doesn't mean it's supposed to be there. And there is a part that you play in removing that opposition. But first you have to realize that mountain, that opposition, that challenge to the promise that God gave you, that challenge to the word that God gave you. See, the devil's not going to just clap his hands and just roll over when God gives you a promise. There's going to be opposition. Sometimes we think if God wills it and I will it, why doesn't it just come to pass? Because there is opposition to the will of God. Sometimes it's the devil, sometimes it's fallen people that have a will that has not been submitted to God, and they'll resist you. Are you understanding this? This is real stuff that goes on in this world, everybody. And Jesus is saying not every mountain that's in front of you is supposed to be there. You don't sit there and go, what can I learn from this mountain? I'll tell you what to learn. Move it! That's what you need to learn from the mountain. Not to quit and go back the other way and say, man, I was really hoping for that dream over there, but this mountain came. You learn how to move mountains. And you don't just move them in your life because you practiced it in your life. You know how to move them in somebody else's life. This is why believers need to be believing. Amen. Not just believing in God, but know how to believe God to move a mountain. Amen. So we learn that these mountains, these oppositions, that they are not God's sovereignty saying no, but rather, they're obstacles that need to be pushed through. They're just another part of your testimony, my friend. Amen. You have the capacity to believe. Believing is real. Using your faith is important. Not letting a part of your faith get shut down and stay disappointed. Reactivating every part of your heart to believe God is important, because one of those areas is somebody's mountain. Whether it's healing or finance or relationships or whatever, one of those areas is somebody's mountain. And so we have to have complete confidence, childlike faith, say, God, even those things in my heart that I was disappointed, I give to you because I refuse to live a life of an unbelieving believer. That is not the life for me. And I can intentionally grow my faith. I can ask for gifts of faith. We are without excuse in staying a negative, cranky Christian. Thank you again for your thunderous response. My final picture, teaching you how to believe. I want to give you a practical illustration. How do I do this? How do I not just make it a dream or an imaginary thing? How do I believe? There's a model that really works well with our holiday spirit that we're in. I want to talk to you about Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, the Messiah. There's a picture of how we believe and how we can activate our belief when we look at her. So I want you, everybody in the room, to use your imagination today. Now, maybe easier for the women than the men, but I want you to imagine yourself pregnant. First step in believing. First step. You see, what happens when Mary, basically when we say Mary became pregnant, what happened is this: God made a promise, and God was bringing to pass a miracle that the world had never seen. And it was initiated by God, and so he came and he placed a promise, and he placed a breakthrough, and he placed the answer to the world's problems inside of Mary. Are you understanding this? In a different illustration, let's make this bigger. And so when God gives you a promise, and God begins to speak to you about a breakthrough, or God begins to speak to you about something that's going to change your life or the world around you, the same process applies of believing, actively believing. The first thing we must do is say yes to the word. It's the first thing Mary did. Gabriel comes to her and says that the Spirit of the Lord is going to overshadow you. You're going to conceive a child. And the first thing Mary has to do in a step of faith to bring to pass the will of God in this word is to say yes to it. Now, she could have sat there and tried to debate the entire thing. How is this possible? How is this biologically possible? She could have made the angel try to explain it with like charts and graphs, you know, from like physical ed class or something, you know. But there are things that God's going to talk to you about that are bigger than your understanding. How to change your marriage, how to change your addiction, how to change your finances, how to heal your body, how to rescue your family from an impoverished spirit and make them successful in the future, how to save a school. You're the superintendent, you're the principal, you're a teacher. God will speak to you the vision. God will speak to you the hope. God will speak to you the preferred future. When everyone else just says, shut it down, it's lost, God begins to drop the answer into you, the believer. Well, are you ready to catch it? But when he says something and he speaks that word to you, your first response is yes. Even though I don't know how it's going to happen, I say yes. Even though I might be disappointed from my past, I say yes today. Though my natural reaction might be to resist, my natural reaction might be to say no because of X, Y, and Z, I make myself say yes, even though the promise is bigger than I want to believe right now. Are you understanding? I make myself say yes, even though everything else in me might want to say, I don't get it. Do you see that? Number two. Stay healthy. Remember, men, we're pregnant. It's time to stay healthy. You need to eat right when you're pregnant. Amen? You're carrying a dream. You're carrying a breakthrough. You're carrying a miracle. You need to eat right. Eat the right stuff. You can't live on pork rinds and Coke when you're pregnant. Amen? You won't live long after either. You eat correctly. You feed that dream. You feed that promise. You feed that word that God gave you. You feed it the word. You feed it truth. You feed it life. You feed it encouragement. Amen. But you see, you're responsible for part of the dream. You realize that. God spoke it. God's declared it. God's even put it inside of you. It is growing, but you have something to do while you wait for it to come to pass. Eat right. Stay healthy. In eating right, you also need to exercise. It's part of staying healthy. Exercise your faith. Practice using your faith. God may have spoken to you about a long-term dream, but you can begin to practice faith projects here and now. God may be speaking to you about a total turnaround of your finances, which may take 10 years to do, but today you can begin to activate your faith in areas in your own home. Your kid might have the sniffles. Well, try praying for him. Amen. Don't just like, you know, anoint him with Vicks Vapor Rub all over, you know. Give a couple words of prayer too. Amen. Amen. You can begin to give some money to missions and believe God for breakthrough. You can begin to give your tithe and believe God for breakthrough. You can begin to believe that this week you're going to sell more in your company than you sold last week. It may not be the whole turnaround, but you can begin to use your faith that God, I'm going to get one more customer than I got last week. Are you understanding? You begin to exercise your faith. It's part of staying healthy. You know, maybe your faith isn't strong enough for the big project yet. You see it from afar, but you begin to do these little projects that grow along the way. And the other thing to stay healthy is this, stay in forgiveness. You know, the latter part of that verse in Mark 11 where he says move mountains and all this stuff, says you can move mountains and, you know, believe you receive. The very next verse is this, if you have anything against somebody, forgive them. We like the move mountain verse, but it's also linked to being healthy inside. You got to forgive. You got to stay out of offense. You got to stay out of bitterness. It's not worth the dream. It's not worth the promise. It's not worth your growth potential and the breakthrough for yourself, your family, for the world, for the city. This offense isn't worth it. The Bible says, if I have faith to move mountains, but I don't have love, it's useless. Amen. That's where it comes from. Number three, so number one was say yes. Number two is stay healthy. Number three is protect that word that God gave you. Stay in agreement with God. Don't let people hurt and abuse that word or curse that word around you. And you don't curse that word, that dream around you either. You're protecting. Your job is to protect that dream, that breakthrough, that miracle, to bring it to pass, whether it's for your personal life or for a city or even for the church or for your whatever. You speak life and health. Protect what God has put on the inside of you. You understand, people are going to say things like they did to, Elizabeth and different people. Oh, you're too old to have a kid. Or maybe even to Abraham. You're too this and that shouldn't happen. Or, you know, Noah trying to build a boat and people are trying to attack him building a boat when it had never rained. You have to protect the dream. You understand? And you don't begin to speak or curse the dream that God has put on the inside of you. Just like a child, we would never, hopefully, you would never begin to curse the child that's growing on the inside of you. There's a time for it to be born. There's going to be uncomfortable sacrifices that have to be made. There's going to be this journey that feels like it's going to take forever. And you don't begin to speak against the dream because it's painful or delayed. The Bible says through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. Just because the vision tarry, the Bible says, wait for it. You speak life to the dream. You speak life to the promise. You protect the promise. Protect it from your own mouth or others. And you understand, you feed it the right things. You protect it. It's your job. Get around people of like faith is number four. Get around people of like faith. First thing Mary did when she was told she was going to have this miracle baby, this breakthrough, the solution to the world's problem was given to her. She went and spent 6 months with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, I mentioned last week, is the mother of John the Baptist, who her and her husband were also well off in years. They weren't supposed to have children, but an angel Gabriel came to her and said, came to her husband and said, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him John. And you see, so Elizabeth knew about carrying a miracle baby. Elizabeth knew the ridicule, the confusion. Elizabeth knew this whole experience of walking it through. And so Mary immediately went to Elizabeth for 6 months. And I'm encouraging you, when God gives you a dream, whether it comes through the written word, the prophetic word, or a sermon, or God drops it in your heart and it's according to Scripture, when God gives you that thing to believe again for, that miracle, that breakthrough, you go get around other people of like faith who've carried miracles before, who have carried dreams into fruition before, who have stood against opposition and doubts of other people, and they know how to encourage you when the days get long and the waiting gets long. Are you understanding this? Okay, and so your job, you know, is to say yes, stay healthy, protect the word, get around people of like faith. Also, your job is to grow in faith when you're carrying this child. Make yourself grow. And one of the ways we do that is to worship God. The Bible says Abraham, while he was receiving this promise of inheriting a child in his old age, it says he grew in faith, giving thanks to God. One of the greatest ways to combat doubt while you wait for your breakthrough, it could be a breakthrough in your marriage. It could be a breakthrough in your finances and your healing. So guys, this applies to so many ways. While you wait for the vision and the answer to the prayer, while you stand believing, give praise to God. Praise stills the devourer. Praise stills the enemy. You understanding? Praise shuts the devil down. Amen. When you want to fear, you praise. When you want to doubt, you praise. When you can make yourself praise. The Bible says Abraham grew in faith, giving praise to God. You have that ability to do that. And lastly, obey the plan. Obey the plan. Don't change the plan. Don't keep changing it based on other people saying, this is how you bring the dream to pass. Oh, God gave you that word? Let's do it this way. Do what God tells you to do and stay on the plan. Don't you try to shorten the plan and have an Ishmael, and don't you let other people try to tell you how to get there. You work the plan the way God gives it to you in the beginning. If you're changing it halfway through, it's probably because it's delaying. You think it's delaying and you're trying to hurry it along. What God said in the beginning is still probably the most accurate version of the plan. That was huge. All right. That was my final story, but I have two thoughts. And then I'm done. Two thoughts. Number one, keep in mind, believing for a breakthrough is a believing for a breakthrough is not magic. There is process and timing and warfare. There will be resistance. There's going to be adjustments that you need to make. There's knowledge that you need to gain while you're believing for the breakthrough and the fulfillment of the promise. There are physical and circumstantial changes that need to change while you're believing for the promise. I just want, so many people give up on the miracle or give up on believing for the unseen because they think it's magic. They think, I just use the name of Jesus, I quote a few verses, and I'm supposed to be a millionaire tomorrow. Are you understanding? But when God is bringing a miracle to pass, yes, sometimes they're instantaneous, but sometimes these promises are dealing with real circumstances that need to change. Real mindsets. There's real opposition standing against some of them. And so in the waiting period, that's just part of the process of the miracle coming to pass. You're not doing anything wrong. You're just continue to do the right thing as often as you know to do, and you get the support you need, and you keep standing. And the Bible says, after having done all to stand, stand therefore. Amen. Are you understanding? And so sometimes we let go of the promise because it didn't happen like magic. It just didn't happen. Someone says your marriage is going to get better, and they wave their hand in the name of Jesus, and a few shundies, and you're just thinking, oh, it's marriage is better. No, there's change that has to happen. You need to forgive. You need to forgive. You need to change. You need to change. There's a part to play in real progress. It's not magic. It's God working, and he's going to be faithful to do, but you have to understand what a miracle looks like as well, what breakthrough looks like, even in changing a city. When cities can begin to change and people don't see it because they're looking for everyone to have millions of dollars in the bank by tomorrow, rather than all of a sudden certain companies start moving in, certain political things start changing, certain key figures and God's doing things and your prayers are being answered. It just doesn't look like the mature picture yet, which goes to my last thought. Like the baby Jesus, many of our breakthroughs and answers will come in packages different than we're expecting. They may not come full grown, but they break forth as a small shoot or a blade of grass. They are the cloud the size of a man's hand. They may be infant in stature, and you will need to nurture them into full growth. You know, when Jesus came into the world, the breakthrough had come. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. But the answer to the breakthrough, the big miracle the Jews had been expecting, came 4,000 years of prophecy, came as a baby in a diaper. Are you understanding? I mean, they might go, that's it? That's the breakthrough? Yeah, that's the breakthrough. And God's solution is there. The answer has come. The miracle is on the earth. But now there's going to be a season where it grows into maturity. But that's all breakthrough the whole time. It's all the miracle moment the whole time. You know, for some of you, God promised you to own a company, and your breakthrough is you got the job to be the secretary at the front desk. You're like, wait a minute, the prophetic word says I was going to own companies, and I just got a job as a secretary. Yeah, it's the cloud the size of a man's hand. It's the baby wrapped in a manger. Are you understanding? But yes, God's promise is breaking into the earth, and it may take time to grow into full maturity, but the promise will prove true. God's word will prevail. The answer has come. It just doesn't come in what you thought it was. You were waiting for a full-grown Messiah, but it came differently, but it will grow into its full-grown promise. Amen. Go ahead and stand as we close in a word of prayer. Let's pray this into your life. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for this church and those watching on the internet. Lord, if there's anything in our hearts, in our lives, that we've pulled back from trusting or believing you, we acknowledge those things now. I ask if you know of an area in your life that you've been doubting God, if you were honest, that you would tell it to him right now. And like the Father, we say, now, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me to grow in faith in that area again, because I don't want to settle for being a doubting believer. I want to be a believing believer. Lord, many of you, you've told so many here and watching on the internet about promises and fulfillment and breakthrough and to be standing to change things and to believe for better and believe in hope of tomorrow and believe in change and to move mountains. And Lord, I pray for gifts of faith to be released today to help them start again and to start fresh, to get up out of the pit of despair and doubt they've been in and to lay hold of a gift of faith and to begin to believe again that all things are possible and you'll do what you promised to do. Lord, I speak faith and life into this room and into those watching. Lord, I thank you that you will prove faithful to the promises. I pray, God, you help us to be good believers, good at believing again, quick to believe. And we give you the thanks in advance for doing everything you said. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to give you an opportunity today, if you don't know the Lord, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today I want to ask you, how are you doing with the Lord? Have you given your heart to Jesus? You say, Pastor Kevin, I don't remember a time in my life that I've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life. Then let's do that today. You might say, Pastor Kevin, I've had a walk with God, but I let it go and I ran away and I became bitter against God or who knows what. But today I want my relationship with the Lord to be 100% again. Would everyone bow your heads and close your eyes just for 30 seconds? If that's you, I'm not going to call you to the front. I want to pray with you right at your seat. But I want you to be brave enough to acknowledge you want to get your heart right with the Lord today. If that's you, and you say, Pastor Kevin, would you pray for me? I'm not right with the Lord, and I want to be right. I want to pray with you. Would you please be brave enough to put your hand up right where you are today? There's a hand in the center here. Awesome. Anybody else today? Put your hand up. There's hands in the back. That's great. Three. Awesome. Anybody else today? Place your hands up wherever you are, and we're going to pray a prayer together to get our hearts right with Jesus. Anybody else today? Just pop your hand up wherever you are. There's no reason to leave this place today out of relationship with God. All right, everyone, let's pray this prayer together so they're not praying by themselves. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize I've sinned and I walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate those three or four that raised their hands? Pretty good. Pretty awesome. Very awesome. Get the altar team to come forward, the prayer teams. As I dismiss those of you that raised your hand today on your way out, right behind our video cameras is our New Beginnings area, and there's volunteers there that have Bibles for you and resources to help you in your walk with the Lord. The rest of you, you might be believing God for miracles, breakthroughs, and these prayer workers up here are great, trustworthy partners to pray for those miracles to come to pass. I'm going to bless you and dismiss you as you go on out. The book tables are out there, and you can purchase books on your way out, but let me bless you before you go. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I bless this church. Lord, there are some big promises in them that sometimes we let slip, we let slide, we lay to the side because they've taken so long. But God, today we pick them up again and we ask you to help us to believe. You didn't give us those promises to be set to the side. We need to believe and stand and be a bridge for you to bring those things to pass. Those promises matter to this world, to our family, to our life and future. And we lay hold of those promises again. We thank you. Give us faith. Help us to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.